88.5 FM, 1390 AM in Nederland at 93.7 FM, and we are live online everywhere at kgnu.org. Pleasant Monday evening, everyone. Welcome to the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, and tonight I've got a playlist highlighting the voice of one of the most singular and distinguished singers of the last century, the Swedish soprano Birgit Nilsson. She possessed a unique and thrillingly powerful voice combined with great acting ability, as you'll hear when you join me for the Opera Box tonight here on KGNU. Excerpts from the aria Ocean, from the opera Oberon by Carl Maria von Faber, and we heard the soprano Birgit Nilsson with Raphael Kubelek conducting the Bavarian Radio Orchestra. And we're just coming up on 3 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist that's going to highlight the great dramatic soprano Birgit Nilsson. She was born in 1918 on a farm in southern Sweden, and she was showing musical talent by age 3, picking out melodies on a piano by ear. Her father wanted her to be a farmer, but fate had other plans when she was heard singing in her church choir and was urged to take formal lessons. And despite her formal training, she felt that her natural abilities were really what made the difference in her success. Her forceful voice had a heroic intensity and a steel-edged timbre, which I'm going to demonstrate by comparing her rendition of Brunhilde's famous battle cry from Wagner's opera, The Valkyrie. It contains 5 octave jumps, which musically establish Brunhilde's invincible heroism. Now listen first to Hildegard Behrens, a recent popular Brunhilde, as she sings the battle cry, Hayata Ho, immediately followed by Birgit Nilsson.
Thank you.
Brunhilde's battle cry from the Valkyrie. You can really hear the difference in that sharp attack that Birgit Nilsson has, not under the note, but right spot on the note. She's really a member of an elite group, maybe two or three other sopranos who are able to sound that heroic. Well, after her first few roles, when she was in her 20s, Nilsson gained national attention in Sweden with her 1947 performance of Lady Macbeth, and internationally in 1951 as Elektra in Mozart's Idomeneo. But it was another Elektra, the murderously unbalanced daughter in Richard Strauss's opera Elektra, which was to become one of Birgit Nilsson's signature roles a decade later. the stark raving mad Elektra. It's a monologue from Richard Strauss' eponymous opera. We heard Birgit Nilsson, incomparable Birgit Nilsson, with Georg Scholte conducting the Vienna Philharmonic, with whom she made many famous recordings. And it's 16 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock this Monday evening. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist highlighting the great Swedish soprano Birgit Nilsson. She really was unparalleled in that role of Elektra. After one performance in Vienna, she received more than 70 curtain calls. It lasted almost as long as the opera. No one has been able to equal her reputation in that role. In addition to Strauss's Elektra, Nilsson became famous for embodying the roles of Wagner's heroines Brunhilde and Isolde. Considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Wagnerian and Straussian soprano, she's the standard against which all others are compared. But she also achieved similar fame as Puccini's Tosca and Turandot, and Verdi's Lady Macbeth, Amelia, and Aida, as well as Leonora in Beethoven's Fidelio, and many other prominent dramatic roles in operas by Mozart, Bartok, and Weber. The pinnacle of recognition in opera comes when audiences bestow a nickname on the singer. Joan Sutherland, for example, was known as La Stupenda, Montserrat Caballé as La Superba. Nilsson was known simply as La Nilsson, which she later used as the title of her autobiography. Well, part of the Nilsson lore was her quick sense of humor and rivalry with the Italian tenor Franco Corelli. They were often paired together in performances of Turandot, Tosca, and Aida. And during their duets, they would try to hold their high C longer or louder than the other one. A sort of friendly competition. Well, during one performance of Turandot at the Metropolitan Opera, Nilsson sang so much stronger and longer than Corelli that in a huff, he informed the director, Rudolf Bing, that he was not going to sing in the last act. Well, Bing told Corelli to retaliate by biting Nilsson in the ear when they have their kiss in Act 3. That calmed Corelli down, and although he didn't do it, he told Nilsson about Rudolf Bing's advice. That night, Birgit Nilsson sent a telegram to Bing, informing him that she would not be able to sing tomorrow. She'd somehow contracted rabies. Well, I've got two examples of their great partnership from Puccini's Turandot and Verdi's Aida. In Turandot, Nilsson, as the icy princess, tries to intimidate the would-be lover Calaf, sung by Corelli, but the ardent Calaf will not be put off. And in the final scene of Aida, the Egyptian general Radames and the Ethiopian slave Aida bid farewell to life as they are sealed together in a tomb to die for betraying the pharaoh's daughter. Two great moments from the partnership of Birgit Nilsson and Franco Corelli.
Peace. Thank you.
The conclusion of Aida by Giuseppe Verdi, featuring the great Birgit Nilsson and her collaborator in many performances, the tenor Franco Corelli. Zubin Mehta conducted the Rome Opera Orchestra and Chorus. And before that, we heard Birgit Nilsson and Franco Corelli in the great In Questa Reggia from Act Two of Turandot. Francesco Molinari Pradelli conducted the Rome Opera Orchestra and Chorus. They were like Astaire and Rogers, or Gable and Lombard. They were that popular together. And if you listen closely during the Turandot duet, you could hear Corelli holding his note just a little longer than Birgit Nilsson's. It's about 28 minutes before 8 o'clock here on KGNU's The Opera Box, and I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist highlighting the great soprano, Birgit Nilsson. In addition to a great sense of humor, Nilsson was known for her humility and being down to earth. She was accommodating with her many fans, often socializing with them. She loved a good laugh and was known as an astute businesswoman as well. When asked if Birgit Nilsson is difficult to work with, Rudolf Bing of the Metropolitan Opera said, "Not at all. You put enough money in and a glorious voice comes out." She was honest and clear-eyed about the limits of her talent, noting that her voice was weak in very soft moments and could lack warmth. And although she was an international superstar, she didn't take herself too seriously. In 1960, Decca Records made a special recording of Johann Strauss's opera Die Fledermaus. And in that opera, there is a gala party scene. And Decca invited several big artists to sing cameo arias to give that scene a sense of luxury of a luxurious dinner party. When Nilsson was asked to contribute, she agreed only if she could choose her song. The amazing Birgit Nilsson in her rendition of I Could Have Danced All Night from the Decca Gala recording of Die Fledermaus. Herbert von Karajan, of all people, conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. Well, Nilsson could indeed be the life of the party, and she knew how to have fun. But what she did best was imbue her characters with a sense of strength and noble humanity. And take, for example, Leonora in Beethoven's Fidelio. She's strong enough to risk her life to rescue her imprisoned husband. But at this moment, she's also apprehensive that her nerve may fail her.
Thank you.
Komm Hoffnung, come hope. The aria from Beethoven's opera Fidelio. And of course we heard soprano Birgit Nilsson in the role of Leonora, who has taken the name Fidelio, as she wears a man's disguise. Lauren Mazel conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. It's about 18 minutes before 8 o'clock, and you're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with my playlist highlighting the amazing voice of Swedish soprano Birgit Nilsson. Well, Nilsson was fond of saying that Turandot made her wealthy and Isolde made her famous. Wagner's opera Tristan und Isolde not only challenges a singer's power, but their stamina as well. And, of course, Isolde's powerful, famous aria, known as the Liebestod, Love's Death, comes at the end of 4 hours of singing. Now, here is Birgit Nilsson in a live recording. Listen to her. She is still able to soar above the climactic large orchestra. She said her secret was to wear comfortable shoes.
Thank you.
The Liebestod, Love's Death, from Wagner's Tristan und Isolde. Isolde, saddened with the death of her lover Tristan, dies of a broken heart. As interpreted in a live concert, a live performance, I should say, by soprano Birgit Nilsson with Carl Böhm conducting the Bayreuth Festival Orchestra. It's about 10 minutes now before 8 o'clock. And you're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. And paying homage to the Swedish soprano, Birgit Nilsson. Well, after singing for almost 40 years, Nilsson retired in 1984 at age 66. She returned to her childhood home and remained active, giving lessons to aspiring, talented young singers. She wrote her autobiography, La Nilsson, in 1995. It's an enjoyable read. I highly recommend it. And she died on Christmas Day, 2005, at the age of 87. I think my favorite role of hers is Brunhilde in Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods, the fourth opera in Wagner's four-part cycle, The Nibelung's Ring. The opera and the cycle come to an end when Brunhilde saves the world at the cost of her own life because she's learned that love is more important than power. Here's the immolation scene from Götterdämmerung by Richard Wagner.
Thank you.
The immolation scene, conclusion of Götterdämmerung, Twilight of the Gods. Music of Richard Strauss from his four opera cycle, The Nibelung's Ring. And of course, we heard Birgit Nilsson as Brunhilde with Georg Schulte conducting the Vienna Philharmonic. Well, it's just a little bit after 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me this evening for the Opera Box and our tribute to the great Swedish soprano, Birgit Nilsson. Stay tuned for a Classic Monday. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Netherlands, and live online at kgnu.org.
It's expensive to operate a vehicle, so not having a car could save you some money. There's car sharing and short-term car renting to supplement public transit. Or you can also have fun riding your bike instead of driving. Get healthy and donate a car or truck to KGNU. Schedule a pickup today at 844-KGNU-CAR. That's 844-KGNU-CAR.
KGNU would like to thank Wax Trax, Twist and Shout, Black and Red, Albums on the Hill, and all the individual donors who made our summer record sale a grand success. If you didn't get a chance to drop by and shop the massive music collection, never fear. Back by popular demand, we will again be selling LPs and CDs this Friday, July 3rd, during the First Friday Art Walk from 4 to 8 p.m. That's part two of KGNU's summer record sale at our Denver home, 700 Kalamath Street, during the First Friday festivities this Friday, July 3rd.
Well, welcome to A Classic Monday here on KGNU. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, and I want to welcome you to A Classic Monday. This evening, we're going to sample Beethoven's powerful Missa Solemnis, his solemn mass. It is one of the great choral works in the repertoire. I'll have a lot to tell you about Beethoven and his Missa Solemnis. But let's begin now. We're going to begin with the performance of Herbert von Karajan conducting the Berlin Philharmonic, and I'll be back to tell you some more about that.